Hello, and welcome to another edition of Ask the Experts. I am your host, Annetta Wilson of SpeakWithEase.com. And one of my goals in this series of interviews is to always bring you people who are on the cutting edge, who are experts in their fields, and who bring you new and exciting ways to help you live your life the way you choose. And today, with as little stress as possible, and I know you're doing the happy dance about that because I certainly am, our guest today is Dr. Paulette Hubbard, who has come up with a unique system to help you beat what is conceivably one of the number one killers today, stress. Dr. Hubbard, thank you so much for being with us. I'm so excited about this topic.
Thank you, and I am so excited about being on the show. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Hubbard. She is a licensed clinical social worker and a coach. She has her doctorate in social work and for many, many years has been lending her talents by providing clinical services and managing social services programs. That sounds like a really big job and a lot of work. Tell us what that entails.
I think that for me, it's my passion. My passion is helping people. And so when you're operating in your passion, it doesn't even seem like work. In terms of clinical and providing clinical services, I have provided services to people that are struggling with substance abuse, with mental health disorders, and sometimes what we refer to as co-occurring disorders when they're struggling with both. I've worked everything from prevention education to inpatient care on working with substance abuse clients and clients with mental health diagnoses. I've also worked and managed several significant social services programs. I've at one time was a director for the Marine Corps Family Advocacy Program, which is their child abuse and domestic violence program. I've also worked for Department of Homeland Security over their victim services program. So I've been very fortunate in having a large range of opportunities to work with different clients in different capacities and providing different types of services for them.
Which is all the more reason that I'm excited to hear about your system. It's called Rolling the Dices, Simple Steps to Beating Stress. And yes, I know dice is already plural, but you will understand why there's an S on that word as Dr. Hubbard explains how we can beat stress. Now, a little bit later, we're going to share with you her contact information, so I suggest you get something to write with because you will want to talk to this lady and have her either work with you or your groups or organizations. So let's just start at the beginning. Each letter of the word dices has a meaning. So the D is for detach or unplug. What do you mean by detach?
So sometimes stress is inevitable, and there's good stress and bad stress, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But so whenever we're experiencing a high level of stress, there are times that sometimes because we may not have control over the situation or the circumstances that we're stressing over, sometimes we just need to step back and unplug, just totally cut off from whatever it is, the stressor that's causing that increase in stress. And it doesn't mean, I'm not saying to just walk away from the problem, but sometimes we just need to step back, exhale, take a deep breath, regroup, and then go back to the problem or addressing the issue. May be causing the stress.
Is it something as simple as getting out of the environment that's stressing you out?
Absolutely. It can mean getting out of the environment. And then there's sometimes you're not able to get out of the environment. So there are different things that we can do and techniques that you can do that will help you to immediately relieve some of the stress until you can come up with or employ a long-term plan in managing that stressor.
Can you give us an example, something
sure.
that someone who's listening right now could do today or tonight?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I teach clients when I'm working with them, especially when I have a lot of clients that come and see that end up coming to see me because of the stress has led to anxiety and anxiety disorders and other psychological issues that are causing because they're being caused because of the extra stress or the chronic stress. So one of the things that I immediately teach some of my clients is a breathing exercise that we do. So if you have time, it's a one-minute exercise that you can do anywhere, standing up, sitting down, laying down, whatever the case may be, and pretty much anywhere, whether you're in your office, whether you're at home. Sometimes even if you're in a meeting and you're feeling some anxiety or some stress arising, you can do this exercise. So
and
you do
what,
it.
What does that look like?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What does that exercise look like? I know we're not going to take the full minute, but can you just kind of describe what you'd be doing?
Sure. So what you would do, you would begin by feeling your feet on the ground or your body touching the surface of whatever you're sitting, standing, or lying on, and
mm-hmm.
you simply make sure that you feel that sensation of whatever it is, that surface that you're coming in contact with. And then you focus on your breathing, and you continue to focus on your breathing for about a minute. So you start breathing. You start by being still and by breathing in and out slowly, counting for 6 seconds. Then you breathe in and make sure that you're breathing through your nose, in through your nose and out through your mouth, letting your breath flow effortlessly in and out of your body. And you and what you're doing when you're doing that is you're going to actually be focusing on that breath. And if possible, if you're in a if you're by yourself or whatever the case may be, even paying attention to the rise and the fall of your chest. And then as you're breathing and you're focusing on that breath, you'll notice that your thoughts and the stress or whatever that stressor is causing, that's causing the stress, will start to dissipate. And as you let go of those things, you continue to breathe and you simply let those thoughts rise and fall as your breath rises and falls. And you purposely continue to watch your breath, focusing on the sense of awareness on its pathway as it enters your body and it just fills you with life. And as you continue to breathe in and out, you should that energy starts to dissipate. And if you do that for a minute or more, you'll actually feel a lot calmer.
I feel calmer just hearing you describe it. So I can't wait to try it.
And it takes practice, and that was just a real – but I actually, when I'm working with clients, I actually walk them through the exercise to make sure that their breathing is correct. And it's not anything hard. It's not rocket science. It's just making
mm-hmm.
sure that you understand how the breathing impacts, because with the breathing, you're releasing – stress is pent-up energy. And the stress becomes chronic when you have all of this energy pent up and you're not able to release it or you don't have an outlet for it. And so
kind
by
like
the
a pressure cooker that
yes,
with no outlet valve.
Perfect example. And sometimes, you know, sometimes a pressure cooker may let out a little bit of steam, but it never really totally releases.
Mm-hmm.
And so this breathing exercise helps to release all of that steam, and it helps to dissipate the energy that is pent up inside.
This is good stuff, and we're just on the first letter of the word DISIS. You've told us a method to detaching. Why is it so important to actually do that?
Because sometimes the stress, because as our brain starts to focus on those things, and as I said, stress can morph into other issues, anxiety and disorders that may then keep you in a state of anxiousness or nervousness or irritability, and that clogs your thinking. So it's so important to manage the stress and to help dissipate the stress so that you can think clearly, think more clearly, and it also that pent-up energy now has an outlet, and it helps to decrease some of the illnesses that have been associated and found in the studies.
Are you finding that just simply knowing how stress impacts people is an important step in helping to release it?
Absolutely. And that's great. That's a great question, because stress, what may stress one person may not stress somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important in terms of when I'm working with someone to find out what their stress is, what we term as stressors, those things that are causing their stress. It's very important that I find out up front what their stressors are, and I have exercises and assessments and things of that nature that I help, that I walk the clients through to make sure that I understand what those stressors are, and then I verify with them that that those are potential stressors.
So what I hear, what I'm hearing you say is this is not a one-size-fits-all. The beauty of it is that you work with people individually so that what your the protocol or the methods that you design for them are uniquely for them.
Absolutely, because their stress is unique to you. We can, I can take five people and put them all in the same room and expose them to the same event or set of circumstances, and each one will react differently. So it can't be a cookie-cutter resolution to treating people individually, because they are reacting individually based on a number of things that are going on with them.
So this leads perfectly into the second letter of the word DICES, of your system, rolling the DICES, simple steps to beating stress. The I is for be informed on issues.
Mm-hmm. Being informed on
how do you suggest people become informed?
There are a number of ways of being informed, and one of the things I want to point out, though, the first key, first part of that in being informed, again, is knowing what your stressors are, and then understanding how stress reacts in your body. So when you're stressed, your body reacts in a way that is generally termed fight, flight, or the freeze response. It's called the fight, flight, or freeze response because internally we are subconsciously being triggered all the time, and what those triggers are responses that are sometimes an instinctual part of our brain may register it as danger or you know, anticipation of something happening or having a negative impact on you. So when those triggers happen, your body goes into a natural survival mode to provide strength and energy to either fight, you know, run away from the danger, to freeze, just become paralyzed, sort of like the deer in the headlights would be an example, or to fight. And that's where the pent-up energy comes in. And there's an outpouring of adrenaline into the bloodstream. There's stress hormones that are released and produces a number of changes in the body that are intended to be protective. But when chronic stress is happening because you haven't learned to manage that stress, you have all of these hormones released and the adrenaline built up and the energy pent up with nowhere to go. That's where the health problems come in, because then the changes include an increase in heart rate, an increase in blood pressure, to get more blood to the muscles, the brain, and the heart. Your breathing may pick up, it may become faster to take in more oxygen. Your muscles are tensing up. Preparation, which is preparation for action. Then you have may have an increase in mental alertness, where we sometimes see people that are constantly hypervigilant. Sometimes that's as a result of some significant trauma, but that's we can talk about that later. And then sometimes a sensitivity of organs too, to assess the situation. So to sum it up, you have an increase in blood flow to the brain, the heart, and the muscle, the organs that are important with dealing with danger, and then less blood goes to the skin, the digestive tract, your kidneys and your liver, all of those vital organs that are needed to maintain a healthy body. And so if you're experiencing chronic stress, your body's in a hyper state of alert, and then it impacts all of those things, your skin, the blood to your skin, your digestive tract, your kidneys and livers. Hence why studies have shown that 70% of doctors' visits are related to stress.
Oh my goodness. So when someone says to you, oh, it's just all in your mind, you're saying it is absolutely not. It is everywhere in your body and your mind.
Absolutely, everywhere. You know, and I didn't even mention that there's an increase in blood sugar sometimes with chronic stress, fat and cholesterol, because that it increases for that extra energy that you may need. There's a rise in your blood platelets. I mean, there's all type of things that are going on in your body that when you're overwhelmed and stressed out. And so your body, again, is absorbing all of that energy, but it doesn't have an outlet from all the buildup. So, you know, and a lot of times stress is, not a lot of times, but stress studies have also shown that stress can cause significant weight gain or loss, hair loss, irritability, stress, fatigue, headaches, all of these different symptoms, again, that people go to the doctor for, when if they were just managing their stress or learning how to manage their stress, they would eliminate half of their complaints to their doctor.
So I definitely see why the eye and diastasis will be informed.
Yes.
You definitely have to know the impact of stress on your body. We're talking to Dr. Paulette Hubbard, who is an expert in stress management. And at the beginning of our conversation, I mentioned that I was going to share with you how to get in touch with her. I know just so far there are many of you who want to know, so I will not keep you waiting. You can email her at Paulette@PauletteHubbard.com, and I will spell that, Paulette, at Paulette@PauletteHubbard.com, Paulette@PauletteHubbard.com, or if you just can't wait, you can give her a call at 703-672-0393. That's 703-672-0393. And Dr. Hubbard, we were talking about your system, Rolling the Dices, Simple Steps to Beating Stress. And we have so far done D and I. D is for detached or detach or unplug. I is for be informed. And the C is for confidence and self-esteem. Say a little bit about that. We hear about that a lot, but when you say confidence and self-esteem, tell us what you mean.
It is so important. A lot of times I've found in working with clients, they don't have the belief in themselves. And so when you don't believe in yourself and you don't have confidence in what you're doing, in turn, be it work or at home, being a parent, being a student, whatever the case may be, that increases your stress level. Because you don't believe in yourself and you don't have the confidence, or this, your self-esteem isn't at a place where you know that you're capable of whatever it is that you're trying to do or you're trying to accomplish, then you sometimes, and we do it subconsciously, sometimes we don't even realize that we're worried about or that we're putting extra pressure on ourselves to do whatever, to accomplish whatever it is we're trying to accomplish. So if you make sure that your confidence, or are you believing in yourself and your abilities, if that's intact, then you automatically cancel out some of those stressors or those stress inducing self-doubting or self-defeating behaviors that go along with not having confidence in yourself.
Wow, that's a huge part. So what is one way to boost self-esteem?
Find that one thing that you know that you do well, and then practice that. I've also had clients do self-affirmations, and it's not just, and this isn't just make a list, and if you don't know what you do well or what people like about you, ask somebody that you trust that has your best interest at heart what they like about you, and then make that list of the things that they like about you and remind yourself of them. Post it on your mirror in the morning when you're brushing your teeth and read that list about yourself. And sometimes, and the thing about it is sometimes we're taught that that's being conceited or, you know, they have a big ego. It's not. It's not necessarily being conceited or having a big ego. It's understanding who you are and being grounded in who you are and knowing what skills you're bringing to the table.
So it's kind of like if you don't stand for something, you can fall for anything.
Absolutely. Perfect example. Yeah.
Yeah. So confidence is a stress buster.
I've
never really heard it put that way. And you're so right. The whole being this, I think we we get the definition of humility confused. When you said there's nothing wrong with acknowledging what you're good at, some people would say, well, no, that means I'm not humble. And women especially, I hate to generalize, but we especially sometimes have a problem with that. What would you say to the women who are listening? Who say,
if
well, I,
not,
I still don't know.
If you're not 100%, you can't give 100%. It's that simple. And being 100% knows being confident in who you are, and being confident in your abilities and what you're doing. And I agree that I don't want to generalize either, but I do agree with you. For women, we really are, especially in our society, we really are terrible at acknowledging our abilities and being able to speak to who we are. But if they don't take anything else away from this conversation today, if you're not 100%, you cannot give 100%.
I've also heard, you know, people say that your subconscious mind, that part of you that you're not aware of that's thinking and running things, doesn't know the difference between you having a real experience or a make-believe one. So can pretending to be confident be just as effective as actually feeling confident?
On the outside, looking in, you may be able to fake it and people believe that you're confident. But internally, if you're still having that internal struggle, then you need to work on that. You need to work on building your confidence so that you will know. And there's a saying that says, fake it till you make it. So if you need to fake it until you get to that place that you're confident in yourself, then by all means do that. But I would still encourage those individuals that are faking it to work on improving and increasing their self-esteem and confidence.
Yes. I think that definitely is critical, and we need to hear it. You know, so if someone doesn't feel confident and can't find a reason, I love what you said. Ask someone who knows you to tell you what you're good at and, you know, those things about you that they like.
Yeah, and I promise that you'll some people may even be afraid of that, but everyone has at least one positive attribute about themselves.
So that is some encouraging news right there. Even at your lowest, you're not as bad as you think you are, because there's someone out there who can see a spark of light in you. So we're talking about Dr. Hubbard's system, Rolling the Dices, Simple Steps to Beating Stress. D was for detach or unplug. I, be informed. And we see confidence/self-esteem. The E in Dices is empowerment. What is empowerment to you?
Empowerment, it ties into self-confidence and making sure that you feel not necessarily in control. And I want to be clear about, because we don't want to exhibit controlling behaviors, but we want to make sure that we are in a place where our voice is being heard. So an example would be in terms of in making decisions. Let's say in a work environment where you're on a team or your boss asks you for feedback pertaining to a project, your empowerment comes in by making sure that your voice is heard. Even if they don't go along with your input or your recommendations, being heard is what is key to feeling empowered.
Okay, so just speaking up and letting people know you're in the room.
Absolutely.
You just mentioned a work situation. What about in our personal lives? How do we disempower ourselves?
You actually just said it. When we don't speak up, when we sometimes, and again, there's nothing wrong with taking care of our families and making sure that our families are taken care of, and especially our children, but we have to take time for ourselves. And so when we don't speak up and make sure that, which ties also into self-care, but when we don't speak up and make sure that our voice is heard, be it in the workplace or within our family, then sometimes it disempowers us because we're not taking care of ourselves.
And then that becomes something that can have a physical effect on people. Yeah. As I'm, you know, when you talked earlier about the physical impact of stress, can that actually weaken you?
Absolutely.
You feel empowered?
Yes, when you're not feeling empowered or you feel like you don't have the authority to do something, or that your voice isn't being heard, or that your rights are being violated, that all is a part of the empowerment. It absolutely can have a negative impact. It can cause stress and anxiety, which then can turn into depression, anxiety disorders, mood disorders, all types of physical, and I can't even begin on the physical ailments that come along with that, and people being more irritable, less pleasant to be around, all of those negative consequences that come with that. And one thing that I forgot to mention is that stress also impacts your memory. So
really? Say more about that.
Yeah. So what happens is when I talked about that flood of hormones that are released when you're in a stressful situation, and then the chronic stress that continues to happen if you don't find a way to relieve the stress, those hormones also impact your memory, because what happens is that when we're exposed to stress, the body reacts to that. And especially if it's overwhelming, the front part of our brain shuts down. That front part of the brain, that prefrontal cortex, that part that does our thinking and our rationalization and all of those things, and our instinctual part of the brain, the amygdala, kicks in, which is that fight, or freeze response that I talked about earlier. And then those memories are stored in the brain, but they're not necessarily encoded. So there's a difference in the memories being stored and the memory being encoded into the brain. When you encode information into your brain, then you're able to recall it pretty readily. But when the memories are just stored into the brain, then there may times that it may cause memory lapses, things that you can't recall. The hormones that are released also impact your thinking and the rationalization part of the brain. So all of that is pushed to the side. So there are times you can't recall. And you talked earlier about subconsciously, when I talked about the triggers, those memories that we take in information through our five senses: sight, sound, hearing, smell, and taste. And science has been able to go back to a time through hypnosis when someone was born as a baby, and put them under hypnosis and elicit stories, and then they've been able to confirm those stories. So we're constantly taking in information. Our conscious part of the brain can only hold 5 to 7 thoughts at a time. Then everything is like what I call a data dump, is stored into our subconscious. And so when in the right time, the right situation, then those memories are triggered and they come forward. They may come forward, and then again, that's where also you may see some chronic stressors going on and not even be aware. But so when we talk about memory and an impact in their memory, things may be elicited that you don't know why it's going on, or it can impact the memory in ways that you can't remember or you have trouble remembering.
That is amazing. I've never heard anybody tie stress to memory loss or retention or lapses. I mean, it really makes you stand up and think about just how much pressure we put ourselves under every day in the name of getting things done and getting things handled, without realizing the cost to our emotional and mental and psychological health.
Absolutely. And, you know, even I'm guilty of it. There are times that I have so much going on and I'll start to get stressed. One of the ways that you can identify, it's so important to identify your stressors, but that is one of the things for me. When I start to become forgetful, I'm like, what was I getting ready to do? Because I have all of these things going on in my head and I'm stressing out about this needs to be done and that needs to be done. And that's my signal to me that I need to stop, detach, and go regroup and figure out what I need to do next.
So if Dr. Hubbard does that for herself, then you know we all should be doing that, because she has spent her life working with people and helping them navigate the landmine of stress, even families in the military. And that's a whole different can of worms right there, a whole different level of stressors that many of us will never have to face. So we really tip our hat to our servicemen and women and the extra stress that comes with protecting our freedoms. So thank you for being there for them, Dr. Hubbard. You were talking about your system DICEs. So D was for detach, I, become informed, C, building your confidence and self-esteem, E, empowerment, and then the S is self-care. We've heard that term thrown about for a number of years, and I suspect it's been defined so many different ways that probably weren't even the original intent. But for our conversation, as it relates to helping to ease or eliminate stress, tell us what you mean by self-care.
Self-care is your mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. All of those things need to be a part of your stress management plan. And so when I talk about self-care to a client that is experiencing chronic stress or even anxiety and so forth, I talk to them about how are they managing, what plan do they have in place to manage those stressors and those things that are causing them stress. So the first thing is to develop a plan. Identify what stresses you, that we talked about that earlier. What is it that stresses you? And then come up with a plan. And some of those, that plan can include those things that are fun for you. So we're back to that individualized plan, because what may be fun for me may not be fun for you. So what are those things that are fun to you, and then how can you incorporate those into your lifestyle? And it could be very simple things that only take 5 to 10 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes a day. And then that's the beginning of your plan, and write it down. And then imagine, and another way of doing that is to imagine or focus your life free of stress or with minimal stress, and then write down what that would look like. And from there, then you go back to developing a plan to help support what you would like that lifestyle to look like.
So you're saying self-care is not based on hope. Oh, I hope I can get through this. You actually need a plan of action, right?
You need a plan of action. Stress is inevitable. It's going to happen, and it's going to come. The thing to do is to have an outlet by first detaching and temporarily taking your mind off what's causing the stress, and then when you come back to it, what's your plan so that you'll be in a better frame of mind. Some of the other ways of managing stress is a well-balanced diet, regular exercise, adequate sleep, refuting negative thoughts, keeping a sense of humor. Laughter has been, science for decades has talked about the benefit of laughter. If you can't find something to laugh about, put a comedy show on. Put on your favorite comedy show, your favorite comedy movie, or whatever the case may be. Relaxation techniques, I gave you an example of that also with a breathing technique. So all of those things are things that I help clients with in determining what works for them and developing their stress management plan.
And one thing that underscores everything you said, Dr. Hubbard, is, we can't do this alone. Sometimes we need help. I suspect that we cause ourselves even more stress trying to combat the stress we already have.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So what do you say to people who want to be Superman or Superwoman or the Lone Ranger or pick your superhero, thinking, I can just handle this? What do you say to those folks?
My first question to them is, how is that working for you? What things are being neglected, or what things are inducing those stress behaviors are inducing the chronic stress because you're trying to do it all? How is that working for you? And especially if they're sitting in front of me, it's obviously something's not working.
And there's no shame in admitting when you can't handle things. I think that's actually the beginning of wisdom.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, which is why, and DICE is one of my acronyms, is information. Knowledge is power. And it's so funny, you know, stress spelled backwards is desserts. Have you ever looked at it that way?
No, stress I haven't.
Is spelled, if you spell stress backwards, it spells desserts.
Hmm.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
In developing your stress management plan, do you like desserts? What desserts do you like? And so then that may also be a way of helping you to develop a management plan that is reasonable and that you can manage. You know, and I tell you, if you have a stress management plan, then look at, but you're still experiencing chronic stress, then look at the ways you can improve it. If you don't have a stress management plan, then maybe it's time to develop one. But and at the end of that, and the purpose of developing that stress management plan is so that you can experience your desserts, those things that relax you, those things that make you happy, those things that are fun for you are your desserts.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, I even like eat dessert first because life is short. So, you know, the more stress you can get rid of, you know, the more robust and wonderful your life can be. And it comes down to simple choices and to working with someone like Dr. Hubbard, who has spent her life helping people to free themselves from those prisons they don't have to be in by thinking they can do it all alone or thinking, you know, there's something wrong. Well, yeah, if you're stressed out, a whole lot of things can go wrong, as we've heard her mention, the least of which are physical problems that will eventually cost a whole lot of money to medicate and hospitalize. So it just makes sense if you want to save money to tackle your stress in easy ways.
You know, and I want to give an example to really drive home the importance of managing your stress so it doesn't lead to other mental health or physical problems. I worked with a client who had been a victim of overwhelming amounts of racism, and I'm using this as an extreme because I really want people to understand how this can impact your health. So he had experienced an overwhelming amount of racism, and although his anger was understandable and justifiable, he refused to forgive the people that had treated him wrong or had wronged him. So he was angry all the time, had constant triggers to remind him of how he had been treated. And so by the time he came to see me, he was subconsciously being triggered all the time, which then led to him always being angry and irritable and stressed out and so forth, to the point that he wasn't even able to distinguish between real and imagined acts of racism toward him. Because he was holding on to all of that anger, what happened was, and he refused to forgive. Forgiveness is also huge. He was constantly reliving the experiences, and it was manifesting as stress and anxiety. So he came to see me because of the overwhelming anxiety had turned into panic attacks, and he was experiencing panic attacks on a daily basis. So as I started to work with him, imagine the surprise and the peace that he was able to experience when he started to forgive and let go of some of the things that had happened to him. And what he realized was that forgiving didn't minimize his experience, that it was actually holding him hostage. And I like to use the term allowing people to run around rent-free in his head. It was, and because he was doing that, it was causing overwhelming issues. He was in his 40s. He had major heart problems. His hair was falling out, and then the panic attacks came. So once we got to him to a place where we got him on a plan to manage the stress, to forgive and let go of some of the things that had happened to him, his health improved, and he stopped having the panic attacks.
Wow. So the forgiveness, and I'm so glad you mentioned that because just in hearing you recount your experience with this man, the forgiveness was more for him.
Absolutely.
than the people who had wronged him.
Absolutely, because when we don't forgive, we're holding on to that emotional part of what's happened. And that emotional part, because it's negative, it then creates that those triggers that I talked about in terms of a danger or an anticipation of something happening, a negative event happening. And so there was no outlet for him. And so, or for anyone that doesn't forgive, and so there's no outlet, and so that energy continues to build and increase, and it can manifest in a number of ways, unhealthy ways, but for this particular man, he was having heart trouble, and it led from anxiety to having actually experiencing panic attacks.
And what you're not saying is that you're making it okay that someone hurt you. That's not what forgiveness is about. What happened was wrong, but in order to be healthy and move toward it and not have it impact you, you have to find some place of peace inside yourself.
Absolutely, because that those people that or whatever the reason that you're not forgiving or whoever wronged you, they're not losing any sleep, but you are. You're allowing people to run around rent free in your head and cause all of these the stress and the anxiety that comes with that comes along with that those pent up emotions.
So the trauma never stops.
You're right, exactly. It never stops. You relive it over and over and over again.
And earlier you said that you wanted to say a little bit about trauma. Can you speak about that in terms of the discussion we're having?
Sure. Trauma is a little different in terms of how I work with clients and with trauma, and that's really where my practice is moving to and working with trauma patients. Excuse me. So what happens with trauma is similar to what I talked about that happens in the brain. It's an overwhelming sense of and again we can all be put. I can put five people in a room. They all experience have the same experience, and some will never have a traumatic reaction from it, and then someone else in that room may have a severe traumatic reaction. It's an overwhelming sense of danger that overwhelms your sensibilities and your emotions and your thoughts. And so the same thing happens that I talked about with stress. The brain, the front part of the brain shuts down and that instinctual part kicks in. With trauma, it's so significant because it can be triggered so much more easily. And sometimes when we talk about stress triggers, it's actually trauma, that a traumatic experience that's being triggered, and then it manifests itself as stress.
Okay. Is that kind of like post-traumatic stress disorder that we see a lot with members of the military, or are we talking something different?
No, we're talking exactly that. Trauma may not develop into post-traumatic stress, but it can. And so post-traumatic stress, that is a perfect example. A combat vet that has been in a war zone, that has experienced life and death and you know, gunshots and all of the hypervigilance that's required, and if it overwhelms them to a point that they're not able to manage it, then they can develop post-traumatic stress. So when they're in similar environments, the 4th of July is an example. For a combat vet, some combat vets don't like the 4th of July because of the fireworks, because those sounds and those smells remind them or trigger their brain that takes them back to that experience of being in a combat zone.
Wow. So your work is so incredibly important, and I want to, again, let people know how to get in touch with you. Dr. Hubbard is available for coaching and training and speaking engagements to your group. And I think everyone needs to hear this. And if we make one little change, sometimes that is the beginning of better health mentally, physically, and emotionally. So Dr. Hubbard can be reached at 703-672-0393. That's 703-672-0393. Or by email, Paulette, and that's P-A-U-L-E-T-T-E,
Paulette at Paulette Hubbert, H-U-B as in boy, B as in boy, ERT.com. And her website, of course, is PauletteHubbert.com. Dr. Hubbert, any final words for someone who's listening and who's had so many aha moments as you've been educating us and opening our eyes to not only what stress can do, but what we can do about it? If you had any last words for someone who was still on the fence on whether they should actually take some action to talk to someone, what would you say?
I think it's already been said. I think you said it, that it never to ask. There's nothing wrong with asking for help if you need it. If you're not able to develop a plan by yourself, or your plan isn't working for you, then I would encourage you to reach out for help. The example I gave with the client that I work with, once he came to me for help, his health improved, and he started to live a better quality life as a result of seeking assistance. So again, use DISIS as the acronym to help plan what you need to do to improve your lifestyle.
And again, DISIS stands for detach or unplug, be informed, build your confidence, self-empowerment, and self-care. I would like to close with a quote from you, Dr. Hubbert.
Oh, okay.
And says, in order for you to come forth as a symbol of love and beauty, you must plant yourself in environments that will cultivate your growth. You must reflect on the parts that block your light and prune those parts that no longer serve you. It is then, through your source of energy, your light, that you will reflect your purpose and bring forth your beauty to show the world. I may just put that on my mirror.
Oh, thank you.
I can see that every day. We've been talking to Dr. Paulette Hubbert, the creator of the DISIS system, Rolling the DISIS, Simple Steps to Beating Stress. Thank you so much for everything you're doing to make all of us healthier and stress-free.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to another edition of Ask the Experts with Annetta Wilson, and if you've been paying even half attention, you've gotten so many nuggets that you can use to start lowering your stress level today. Visit her website at PauletteHubbert.com. Take care, everybody.
The moderator has left the